The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everyone. We've been going through a discussion on the subject of success in life. And we have been laying the groundwork for the seven laws of success that really will add to success you might already be having, or that will determine success and whether or not you will achieve it if you are not already succeeding. So we have now covered the first law of success, which is to set the right goal in life. But once you've done that, what do we do then? I'm going to read extensively from a booklet entitled The Seven Laws of Success, written by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. He starts here on page 20 and says this: "And so if you are able to arrive at success in your life, you must first set the right goal, and then comes the preparation to achieve that goal. So the second law of success in time sequence is education or preparation. How can one expect to accomplish his purpose unless he acquires the know-how? One thing we need to know about life, and many do not, is that humans do not come equipped with instinct. To this extent, the animals have a certain advantage over us. They never need weary their brains with book learning. The newborn calf does not have to be taught how to walk. It starts immediately to get up on its somewhat infirm and uncertain legs. It may fall down on the first or second attempt, but in a matter of a few moments, it stands, even if a little unsteady at first. It does not require a year or two, not even an hour or two. The little calf starts walking in a few minutes. It does not need to reason out any goals. It requires no textbooks nor teaching. It instinctively knows its goal, dinner. And it knows also instinctively the way. On its own four legs, it proceeds immediately to the first meal. Birds build nests by instinct. No one teaches them how. Five generations of weaver birds, isolated from nest or nest-building materials, never saw a nest. When nest-building materials were made accessible, the sixth generation, without any instruction, proceeded to build nests. They were not crow's nest or eagle's nest. They were the same kind of nest weaver birds have built since creation. They had no minds to think out, imagine, design, and construct a different kind of nest. Of course, dogs, horses, elephants, dolphins, and some other animals can be taught and trained to do certain tricks. They can even, quote, problem solve, end quote, in a certain way. But they cannot reason, imagine, think, plan, design, and construct new and different things. They do not acquire knowledge, perceive truth from error, make decisions, and employ will to exercise self-discipline according to their own reasoned wisdom and decisions. They cannot develop moral or spiritual character. But humans have it not quite so easy. Humans have to learn or be taught. Humans have to learn to walk, to talk, to eat, or drink. We don't come to these basic accomplishments instinctively and immediately like animals, Mr. Armstrong writes here. It may take a little more time. It may come a little harder. But we can go on to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. Then we can go further and learn to appreciate literature, music, and art. We can investigate, experiment, invent telescopes, and learn something about outer space and far-off planets, stars, and galaxies. We invent microscopes and learn about infinitesimal particles of matter. We learn about electricity, laws of physics and chemistry. We learn to use the wheel, construct highways, and roll over ground faster than any animal. We learn to fly higher, farther, and faster than any bird. We learn how to take nature apart and make it work for us. We discover and utilize nuclear energy. Now, how are we able to do this? The point he's making here is that we have minds, that we can learn, we can be educated, we can employ knowledge in preparation for achieving great things. That's the point Mr. Armstrong is making. Well, continuing what he wrote here, but we have to learn, to study, to be educated, to be prepared for what we propose to do. One of the first things we need to learn is that we need to learn. Once you have learned enough to choose a goal, the second step towards successfully accomplishing that goal is to learn the way, to acquire the additional education, training, experience to give you the know-how to achieve your goal. Most people fail to set any definite goals. Isn't that true? Do we have definite goals? Can we define them? Can we write them down? Can we explain them? Do we have definite goals? He's asking this question. He goes on to say, having no specific aims, they neglect the specialized education to make possible the attainment of their purpose. There is then a right and a false education. Successful people are not lastingly successful, he writes here. Their education fails to teach them the true values. They choose goals that lead them in the way of false values that don't last. In most cases, he's pointing out, this is true. The entire system of education in this world neglects to recapture true values. Even the scholarly educators themselves too often devote themselves to arduous years of research into non-essential and useless channels. Continuing on page 23, right education must teach that all things are a matter of cause and effect, that for every result, whether good or evil, there is a cause. True education will teach the cause of this world's evils, of personal or collective troubles, so they may be avoided. Also, it must instruct in the cause of the good results, that we may know how to win them instead of the troubles. Right education must not stop at teaching to live. It must know and teach the purpose of human life and how to fulfill it. And so he's covered several paragraphs there explaining that the second law of true success has to do with right education. Put another way, it has to do with preparation to achieve the goals you've set for yourself. Let's look at some examples and put this in practical terms. Let's just say, for instance, or for example, you've always wanted to be in the farming industry. Agriculture is one of the biggest industries we have in our country. In fact, it used to be the biggest. It might still be. Perhaps you want to be a wheat farmer. Maybe you want to own several sections of beautiful land, land that's level and rich, no rocks there. The topsoil goes deep, black, nice, rich soil. Several sections of that kind of land, which involves hundreds and hundreds of acres. What do you do if you decide to buy that and become a wheat farmer? The thing you need to start off doing before you purchase the land is to research the subject, to educate yourself on what it means to be a wheat farmer of that magnitude. What about the price of the land? How much is it going to cost? What about purchasing the machinery you're going to need to plant and to cultivate and then to harvest the wheat crop? Perhaps you need to look at labor costs. You won't be able to do everything yourself on a farm that big. There's going to have to be outside labor that you bring in and pay to help you out. What's that going to cost? Have you looked into, or would you look into, market forces, fluctuations of the prices for wheat? How far away is the grain elevator to where you're going to live? Do you have a truck to haul it? All of these things you have to look into. How about the bookkeeping aspect of things? Are you going to be able to do that, or have you looked into how much it will cost to have an accountant do that for you? All of these things are a part of the education, a part of the preparation for becoming a successful wheat farmer if you set that as your goal. You can find answers to all these questions and others we haven't raised here by looking in books and reading carefully, taking classes, getting counsel from other wheat farmers, gaining some experience first by going there and helping them out with their farm and learning the ropes, so to speak. That's all a vital part of successfully achieving the goal you've set for yourself of farming. Now, this is a scriptural principle that we're talking about here. I want to turn over here to Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. Luke 14, 28, these are the words of Jesus Christ. And here's the principle, and he's covering it right here. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Verse 29, lest haply, or lest perhaps, after he has laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. In other words, just blindly going out and deciding, I'm going to build this structure, and I'll just take it one day at a time, and I'll just keep on building until we finish it. Not calculating all of the cost of doing so, cost of material, cost of labor, taking into account the time of the year regarding the weather, all of the necessary preparation and work that goes into building such a structure and doing that ahead of time, and then drawing the line and looking at the bottom line and saying, yes, we can afford to do this. Yes, we can get this done. Yes, this is how we can go about doing it. I've educated myself on this project. I've prepared for this project. Let's go build that tower. Not doing all of that, but just simply saying, we're going to start building and see how it all turns out. And the principle that Jesus Christ is bringing out here in Luke 14:29, without counting the cost, you can end up not being able to finish what you started out doing or what you started out trying to achieve as your goal. So that's what we're talking about when we say prepare ahead of time. Educate yourself. The second law of success is to educate yourself and prepare yourself for the goal that you want to achieve. And another principle that Mr. Armstrong brought out in this matter of education is this. He said, knowledge is of no value unless applied. So we acquire knowledge, we study, we internalize, we capture understanding, but that's not enough, just knowing what ought to be done. Now we have to employ that knowledge, implement that knowledge, and do it. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. It isn't going to produce anything. And these concepts we're talking about here apply in marriage. Maybe you've set yourself a goal of getting married or having a happy marriage or having wonderful, healthy, successful children or developing a business that you've always wanted to start and now you've got the wherewithal to do that and that's your goal to start a business. Well, do you know what you're doing? Have you looked into it? Have you read about it? Have you talked about it? Maybe taken a class? Are you preparing to carry out the business all the way through to a successful level? Maybe what you've always wanted to do is travel to every state in the union. And you might be retired. You might have the funds to do that. Perhaps you want to take this trip in an RV. Don't just go down and blindly walk into an RV dealership and buy the first one you see. Look into it. Study. Become an expert on recreation vehicles. And then take a look at the map and look at the routes you want to take and the places you want to camp and the weather patterns and the roads and the things of interest that you can see along the way. And that's going to be a lot of fun just preparing for the trip. And then when you get ready to crank up and take off and fulfill the goal and the dream of spending time in every state in the United States of America, you're going to be able to really have a wonderful trip and a successful trip because you have educated yourself about the trip. You prepared for it. This is true in all facets of life, these concepts of success that we're talking about. Solving a problem, developing a lifestyle that is fulfilling and rewarding throughout your entire life. It requires education, it requires preparation, and it requires diligence in acquiring the knowledge about your goal if you're really going to succeed in it. Let's move on now to the third law of success. Mr. Armstrong writes about the third law of success on page 23 of this booklet, The Seven Laws of Success. He says this, the important law coming next in time order is good health. We are physical beings. The mind and the body form the most wonderful physical mechanism we know, but man is made of matter. He lives by the breath of air, which is the breath of life itself. If the bellows we call lungs do not keep inhaling and exhaling the oxygen-containing air, a person won't live to achieve any goal. You are only one heartbeat away from death. As the lungs pump air in and out, so the heart pumps blood through an intricate system of veins and arteries. These must be supported by food and water. And so man is what he eats. Some of the most famous physicians and surgeons have said that 90% to 95% of all sickness is in some way affected by faulty diet. Most people are in utter ignorance of the fact that it does make a difference what we eat. Most people and the customs of society have followed a regimen of eating whatever tastes good to the palate. Adults or babies grown up. Observe a 9-month-old baby. Everything that comes into his hands goes to his mouth. And Mr. Armstrong mentions an example of his brother that got into the coal bin in the basement and started putting chunks of coal in his mouth. And he goes on to say, you may laugh at babies trying to eat chunks of coal or at adults in different cultures who dip young mice into a sauce and holding them by their tails drop them as a delicious delicacy into their mouths. They will tell you that mice eat clean grain while you perhaps dip seafoods into cocktail sauces and consider them a delicacy. You think adults have actually learned any better than 9-month-old babies? As I said, humans know nothing at birth. We have to learn. But most of us do not know that. And again, what we don't know, we don't know that we don't know. And somehow, ever since babyhood, most humans seem to have grown up putting everything into the mouth. Most have grown up eating just whatever seemed to taste good and whatever they saw others eating. There's been little education or even study about what we ought or ought not to eat. And there's a growing body of information on this subject now, but sometimes it contradicts itself. And even though it's out there, how many people avail themselves of it? I've noticed that a lot of people are pretty careful about the kind of gasoline they put in their car, the grade of oil they put in the motor, and that's well and good. They'll be very careful about what they feed their animals, their dogs, their cats, their cattle. That's also very good. But how careful are we about what we ourselves eat in regard to health and diet? He goes on to write, Mr. Armstrong does, of course, there are other laws of health, sufficient sleep, exercise, plenty of fresh air, cleanliness and proper elimination, right thinking, clean living. He talks about exercise here, and he throws in a word of caution on page 25. He says this, why do humans tend to go to extremes? Exercise is good, it profits a little, but like most things, it can be carried past the law of diminishing returns. You can get an overdose that could cause harm. We are prone to forget the admonition of temperance in all things. What is the value of this excessive exertion in running 2 miles a day? It induces blood circulation, it gets circulation even to the extremities, and that's good. Stimulating blood circulation is important, but we can also destroy health by going to unwise extremes. There is as much danger in overdoing exercise as in neglecting it. Continuing now on page 26, the average person has never stopped to realize that it is not natural to be sick. Sickness and disease come from violation of spiritual and natural laws of body and mind, the physical laws of health. I might add, it's not always the individual who is sick who has violated the laws. It could be other people who have violated those laws, and they, through heredity, have inherited the problem. But quite often, it's we who violate those laws, either unknowingly or carelessly. It's something to think about. Mr. Armstrong continues, most people have not learned that there are any such laws, such as the physical laws of health. They suppose that occasional illness or disease is natural in the course of life. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Sickness should not be taken for granted. Some authorities go so far as to say that we do not catch a cold, we eat our colds and fevers. They suggest that a cold or fever is often the unnatural and rapid elimination of toxins and poisons stored up in the glands resulting from improper diet. Mental attitude does have considerable influence on physical condition as well, Mr. Armstrong continues. Most successful men, women, people, as the world evaluates success, do think constructively, positively, in a mental attitude of confidence. They do not allow themselves to think negatively or assume an attitude of fear, worry, or discouragement. They do not allow themselves to get into uncontrolled moods of griping and complaining. They enforce on themselves emotional balance. And mindful of the responsibilities on their shoulders, they probably put more restraint on dissipation than most people. Without health, one is handicapped, though not cut off from the possibility of achievement. The fourth law of success is largely dependent on good health. Well, we'll get into that fourth law next time, but let's continue to discuss the third law of success, which is good health. And even though our health might not be perfect, if we improve our health, we're going to improve the success that we have in whatever undertaking we're engaged in. I want to turn to the Bible once again and go over here to 3 John verse 2. It's a little book written by the Apostle John, and it only has one chapter in it. So we will go to verse 2, 3 John verse 2. Notice what God inspired John to record here. Beloved, I wish above all things, a better translation is this, Beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Did you catch that? God inspired the Apostle John to say this. He wants us, God does, and John did, and we should. He wants us to be successful, and he wants us to have good health. Now, there is cause and effect involved in having health and feeling good. We need balance as we achieve and produce, and in this matter of health, we need balance. But let's just consider some categories of activities that make a difference in our state of health. What about proper rest? Any authorities on the subject of health will always mention that we need to have proper rest. Most mention 8 hours of sleep. Some say you can get by with less depending on your particular constitution and system, but most, as a round number, will say try to get 8 hours of sleep per 24 hours. Proper diet, we've already discussed that. It's not just a matter of what we eat, but how much we eat and when we eat. So those are considerations, and you can study into the subject and you will see there is good information out there for you. Regular exercise, not overdoing, but doing it on a regular basis. Many authorities recommend walking as some of the best exercise you can have. It is low impact, and yet it still gets good results in terms of circulation and in terms of building the heart and the lungs into a strong condition. Fresh air and sunshine, breathing in good fresh oxygen. And if there's bad air where you live, figure out a way to get to where you can get some good fresh air that you can breathe in and fully oxygenate your system. Sunshine. Of course, we can get too much sunshine and get sunburned, but some people go to the other extreme and never get any sunshine, and sun really is important in terms of health and in terms of properly ingesting the vitamins and the food that we need for our bodies. Good, clean water. Now, I've talked to a lot of people about this subject, and most will say, oh, they drink plenty of water. And yet, when we break it down into detail, most do not drink enough water. They think they drink enough water, but they don't drink enough water. Some do, but a lot don't. We're about 75% water is what I've read in health journals. And that water needs to be replenished. We need to be, on a regular basis, replenishing the water in our system. We need to be hydrated. And it needs to be fresh, clean, good water. And most authorities recommend 8 glasses of water a day. Some recommend a little more, some a little less. Most usually end up with recommending 8 glasses of water per day. You may think you drink that much, but you just start measuring it and you'll see you might drink that much and you might not. Another good point of health that we need to consider in this matter of trying to be vigorous and therefore contribute to success is a change of pace, recreation, a hobby. It's good to not always just be pressing forward, pressing forward, pressing forward in whatever duties we have and in whatever career that we are trying to carry out in our lives. A change of pace, maybe having something that's interesting and fun and relaxing and rejuvenating as a part of your health regimen. That's very important. And then, of course, one of the most important parts of having good health is a tranquil mind. There are many studies out there that you can read that show how damaging operating under a tremendous amount of pressure and stress and distress, how damaging that is to our system. It lowers the immune system, it wears our bodies out, and before you know it, we are opening up our defenses to pick up this, that, and the other bug because we're just stressed out all the time. Sure, we have to be concerned, and yes, we have to be mentally engaged to the task at hand, but not to the point to where we're wringing our hands and worried and under pressure and just tossing and turning and pacing. Peace of mind, having a relaxed, peaceful mind, having the confidence that just hang in there and it will all work out is very, very important when it comes to this matter of health and when it comes to this matter of success. Of course, we need to avoid extremes and fads. As we do these things, we are going a long way toward building our energy level up. We notice that we're becoming more alert, stronger, more vigorous, and when we get in line with these principles of health, we're going to see that we have more vibrancy and we have more desire and energy to get done what needs to get done. All of these things contribute greatly to being successful in whatever course of action we have chosen in our life. And of course, it needs to be the right choice in terms of our goal and our objective. So when we set sail to fulfill our goal and to achieve our objective, we need to put other laws of success together with that in order to bring it all to fruition. We've gone through the first law, which is set the right goal. Today, we have followed that up with the second law, which is we must educate ourselves and prepare ourselves to achieve that goal. And now we're completing a discussion on the third law, which is to develop and maintain a vigorous, healthy lifestyle. Sometimes our health is not 100%, and sometimes we have setbacks. Sometimes we may be handicapped with this, that, and the other malady. But you know, if we will focus on improving our health, we're going to improve our ability to be successful, coupled with education and preparation tied in with a definite goal that we have set out in front of us to move toward and to reach. Now, I want to close by reminding you that these laws that we're going through apply physically and spiritually, as we've already said. Whether we are applying them physically or spiritually or both, they all require knowledge and understanding. Let's turn over here in closing to Proverbs chapter 1 and notice God's word. Once again, it says here in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 2, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, God inspired Solomon to write this, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety or prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." Here's what you have to do to receive all of those things, he says. "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain or acquire unto wise counsels." He sets out to learn. He sets out to understand. He sets out to grow in knowledge. He puts that together with all the things we've already discussed, and success will be the result. One other passage right over here in this same book of Proverbs, chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 2, "So that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge," you really want it, you really crave it, you really seek it. "If you cry after knowledge and if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure." Now that is fervency there. That is not a casual approach toward knowledge. Rather, that is zealous, passionate desire and seeking after knowledge. "If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure," there's a comparison that ought to make it plain. Verse 5, "Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So if you take these principles and you put them together, both in our physical desire to be successful and in our spiritual desire to be successful, physically successful and spiritually successful, the concepts, the principles, the laws are all there. If we really want to learn and if we really want to grow and if we really want to understand what true success is, and that's what we're trying to cover in this series on the seven laws of success. We'll continue in this series the next time. If you would like to have our free magazine, Straightforward, please call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. There's no charge or subscription price. This is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.